Chapter 19, S for Sacrifice. We can understand the word sacrifice on many different levels. Perhaps we think of the sacrifices and burnt offerings required under the law of Moses. Maybe our minds turn to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and its significance for us. In this chapter, we shall consider sacrifice in a very practical sense. What kind of sacrifice does God require of you and me? What are you sacrificing? We often think about sacrifice in terms of giving something up. We might talk about sacrificing our time, energy, money, possessions, personal desires, and even rights and privileges. It is worth pausing for a moment to consider just how much we are sacrificing for God. How different is your life from the lives of those who do not know God? Would your friends and colleagues know you were a Christian had you never told them? Are you making difficult sacrifices, choosing ecclesial events over social events, attending the public lecture and Bible class over pursuing a hobby, choosing a longer commute to work over a longer commute to the meeting, turning down a once-in-a-lifetime job opportunity because the demands would leave you little time for God? Do the sacrifices you make really cause you emotional pain as you battle to make the right decision? Or do you convince yourself that spending 20 minutes reading the Bible every day and giving up 2 hours a week to attend the memorial meeting is sacrifice enough? What's more, when you do choose to give things up for God, is it done begrudgingly and half-heartedly, or do you make these sacrifices cheerfully, desiring to please and obey God over satisfying your own wants and desires? There is a stark warning for us in the book of Malachi. In the days of this prophet, the priests simply could not understand why God was displeased with their offerings. After all, they were following the rituals laid out in the law concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. Outwardly, they seemed to be doing all the right things, but they were trying to cheat God. They offered blind, lame, and sick animals, even though the law clearly stated that such sacrifices were unacceptable. Deuteronomy 17, verse 1. Why? Because to them, this was all for show. They thought it was enough to be going through the motions. They had lost sight of why they were making these sacrifices, and why it was important to do exactly what God had asked of them. They were making up their own rules out of convenience. They were not taking their role seriously. Are we the same? Do we give God the drag of our time, energy, and resources? Do we serve Him half-heartedly and only when it is convenient for us? Do we act out of feelings of obligation rather than genuine desire to be obedient disciples? Are we just going through the motions? Are we taking our discipleship seriously? God wants you. If you are ever tempted to feel a little self-righteous about the few sacrifices you do make for the truth, consider this. None of the things mentioned so far, time, energy, wealth, possessions, and rights, were ever yours to begin with. A sacrifice is only a sacrifice if it has cost you something, and these things have cost you nothing. They are gifts from God to be used in His service to bring Him glory. Devoting them to the work of God is the right thing to do, but this can't be the kind of sacrifice God really desires. We can only truly give to God the things that are not already His. This is clearly illustrated in the scriptures. The list below shows many things which God considered to be true sacrifices, or which are better than sacrifice, to listen and obey God's voice, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, thanksgiving, Psalm 50, verse 5, one who orders his way rightly, Psalm 50, verse 23, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, Psalm 51, verse 17, one who calls on the name of the Lord, Psalm 116, verse 17, prayer, lifting up of hands, Psalm 141, verse 2. Righteousness and justice, Proverbs 21, verse 3. To draw near, to listen, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Steadfast love, the knowledge of God, Hosea 6, verse 6. Love, Ephesians 5, verse 2. Generosity, Philippians 4, verse 18. Praise, the fruit of the lips that acknowledge God's name, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Every one of us, whether rich or poor, old or young, male or female, is able to give these things to God. But this is something we must choose to do. God wants us to choose to obey Him, to listen to His voice, and to be like Him. He does not ask for material sacrifice. He wants you. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, "You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine." Exodus 19, verse 5. Through Christ, these promises to the children of Israel are ours too. But we must be prepared to devote our whole lives to God, not just the small, convenient parts. In addition, we must be prepared to give up everything we own, should God require it of us, clinging not to material possessions, but to the giver of these gifts. Like Paul, we should be able truthfully to declare, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Philippians 3, verse 8. Is there anything in your life which you find yourself clinging to? Does anything absorb so much of your time and energy that you have little left for the things of God? Do you ever prioritize work or hobbies over ecclesial events? Are your loyalties divided? If there is something which is turning your heart from serving and honoring God above all else, it has become an idol in your life. True sacrifice involves the giving of our whole selves to God. So we can see why idol worship has always been such an abomination to God. In sacrificing to foreign gods, the nation of Israel were showing a lack of trust, obedience, and love for the Lord their God. They were giving their hearts to gods of wood and stone, which could neither see, hear, nor act. In the same way, when we show devotion and loyalty to someone or something over and above God, we too are effectively sacrificing to idols. God wants our whole hearts and our undivided loyalty. If there are things in our lives that are drawing us away from Him, we must cut these off. In the words of Hymn 170, our prayer ought always to be, "Is there a thing beneath the sun that strives with Thee my heart to share? Ah, tear it thence and reign alone, the Lord of every motion there." Living sacrifices. Where does our motivation to sacrifice everything, to give up all for God, to turn from idols, and to dedicate our lives to Him, come from? The answer will be different for everyone, but one strong motivator is surely God's grace. Having inherited Adam's sinful nature, we know that we deserve to die. God would be entirely just in meting out His consequences of our sin. Yet He is not only a God of justice and truth, but also of mercy and love. Through the painful sacrifice of His only begotten Son, our Heavenly Father has set a precedent for us all to follow. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3, verses 16 and 17. God gave the life of His own Son to bring you life. Nothing you or I can sacrifice for God could ever compare to that. What then is our response? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Romans 12, verse 1. This is the complete devotion which we have considered, an offering up of our whole lives to God. This is the most we can do, and still it does not compare to what God has done for us. The passage continues, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Verse 2. By regularly reading and meditating upon His word, talking about it with each other and studying it together, we are to align our thinking with God's. "I delight to do your will, O Lord my God. Your law is within my heart." Psalm 40, verse 8, must be our heartfelt cry. This was the attitude that drove Christ's every action, and it should be our driving force too. Take up your cross. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. He made it clear that the life of a disciple would not be easy, nor would it be without sacrifice. It does not come naturally to us to obey God and to deny ourselves. It is far easier to think and act like Adam than it is to think and act like Christ. Nevertheless, God asks for obedient, willing hearts and minds. He asks us to draw near, to listen, and to respond, to seek to know Him, to be like Him, and to choose to obey His voice. He wants living sacrifices, men and women willing to devote their whole lives to him. He wants me, and he wants you. Are you ready to take up your cross and live the life to which you have been called? Questions and suggestions. 1. What sacrifices are you making in your life in order to make more time for God and your ecclesia? 2. Is there anything in your life which you cling to but know you should let go of, if you are to give your whole heart to God? 3. How do you feel about the sacrifices you make? Are you pleased to serve, even when it is inconvenient, or do you feel resentment or reluctant resignation? 4. Now look at the table of true sacrifice. The things you can give to God which he has not first given to you. How might you begin to implement these into your life in a meaningful way? Choose one element to work on particularly this week.